Hello, my name is Ben Jenkins and welcome to the first episode of Season 2 of the New Grad Radio Podcast. As you know, I've made that transition from the intensive care unit across to the emergency department, and I'm so excited to be back behind the microphone again and bringing to you my real views and opinions of what it's been like starting in this new area. I thought I'd spend these first two episodes talking to you about some of the things that I've absolutely loved so far about starting in the emergency department, as well as, on the flip side, talking to you about some of the things that I've actually disliked about starting the emergency department. Everything I do this season, I want to be providing you with my real opinions and my real views of what it's actually been like. I don't want to just give you all of the good things. I want to be able to provide you with as much information as possible. That way you can step back and have a think about whether emergency may or may not be for you. And also some of the things that you may be able to prepare yourself for when you step into the emergency department. So on this episode today, I'm going to start off really positive. I'm going to start off with some of the things I've absolutely loved about starting the emergency department. In preparation for today's episode, I've had a good think about the last 3 months of me being in ED. And I've taken to a little notepad. I'll take a picture of that little notepad as well and put it on the Facebook page. I've actually come up with three headings for what exactly I've loved about starting in ED here. Those headings are skills, exposure, and processes. So when starting with skills, so when I painted the picture to you guys last year about a typical intensive care patient and they've got arterial lines already in play, I'm either setting up or the patient already has in it a central access, so they have central lines. They've also already got either an orogastric or a nasogastric tube in, as well as having an indwelling catheter. So when I'm taking on those patients, a lot of the time they've already got all these things in play. Whilst conversely, when you start in the emergency departments, so that's sooner on in the patient's journey through being pretty sick, that those things aren't already there. And that's something that I've loved and I'm actually really enjoying about being in ED. If I need to give some intravenous medications, I need to gain access. I need to actually put in catheters. I need to put in cannulas. And so it's been so much fun. Starting off with, it really wasn't easy. I was watching all of my coworkers as they get the cannulas out and they'd be able to bang, first go, get it in, take some bloods. They've already got a cannula in play. And I'm like, okay, like let's have a grab a bit of a crack. And those first few ones were so bad. My goodness, it felt like I just couldn't get anything in. Now, I did a double degree in paramedic and nursing, and a lot of what we did as a paramedic student was put in cannulas. And I thought, okay, I'll be able to pick it up just like where I left off. And boy, was I wrong. It took a while, it really did. But over these last few weeks and months, every single day, I've been putting the tourniquet on, I've been watching instructional videos, I've been just absolutely looking everywhere I can to find that perfect vein and just keep practicing. I've actually asked my buddies next door, I'm like, look, if you guys need to put cannulas in, can I please just have a go? They're looking at me like, is this guy crazy? Like, because it's something we do so often in ED is put cannulas in. And so now it's gone to the point where I'm actually getting quite confident and putting a cannula in. I start with, I put in 20 gauges, so they're little tiny pink ones. They're pretty small little cannulas to put in. And that's usually what we do when we're just trying to just basically take some bloods and if we just need to give some peripheral basic medications like some pain relief or something. They're not that big. And now I'm starting to get that stage where let's start challenging myself a little bit. Let's start putting in some 18 gauges. And I'm getting a bit better at them too. So I think it's been fun to try to do some skills that I just wasn't doing at all in the intensive care unit. And the same can be said for indwelling catheters. So a lot of the time they come up in ICU, they've already got an IDC in, we're already measuring urine output by that means. And so now, again, it's setting up in that sterile way, being able to, for men, it's not as challenging, but for the females as well, being able to put catheters in. And now I'm getting to the point where I'm almost doing it daily, so those skills are rapidly progressing as well. So that's something that I've been finding just pretty fun to do. So the second heading is exposure. So whilst over a period of a year in the intensive care unit, I was able to be exposed to a very large variety of patient presentations. So each day you'd come in, you'd get a very sick patient that's a lot of the time tubed, a lot of the time they have inotropes and vasopressors running, and you know, every drop that goes in and out, you know, every blood result, you know, everything about them. Whilst it comes to the emergency department, whilst they're not that sick, in each of the different beds that you have, you can have so many different variety of presentations that are going to be in front of you. So usually we have 1-3 ratio, so one emergency nurse to three patients. And when your buddy either goes on break or they hold up what we have a pager, so they go on rapid respond team, and I'll talk about that on a different episode too, which is pretty cool. So if that happens, it'll be myself to six patients. So you can imagine six different rooms, all for very different reasons at times. You're seeing a lot of patients every day. So just that rapid exposure to these patients, I'm finding really interesting. And so in one bed space, you may have someone that's come in for new onset of chest pain. The next one you come in, they've got renal colic, so they're in a lot of pain. Come in with someone who's had an unwitnessed fall at home. You've got another patient that's kicking off and they're being pretty aggressive and they need a bit of sedation. You've got all these different patients all in one go. And then the turnover in the ED is so high that, you know, those patients are going out and you get a whole new bunch of patients in. So just being able to see different patient after different patient is actually keeping it quite fresh. And when it comes to these patients as well, I'm actually getting a bit more of a realistic picture of what patients come in with. So in the intensive care unit, I guess I say to other people that my perception is pretty warped of what sick patients look like. And that's because every day, most of my patients, they're on inotropes and vasopressors, they've got a breathing tube in. Whilst now, that high thing, that to me is what sick is. And that's really sick patients in that ICU. But at the end of the day, the vast majority of patients that come through an emergency department aren't that sick. Like, really, they aren't. So I really wanted to get exposure to patients that, you know, they're having a bad day, they're coming into an emergency department, but they don't all have breathing tubes and are not that sick. So that's been pretty fun as well. And the final heading is processes. So when the patient comes into your bed space, either being handed over to by the paramedic, so from the pre-hospital setting, or whether they've self-presented and the triage nurse is coming to tell you a bit of a story, you just get an understanding of the processes that are involved. There's pretty much two ways of looking at it. You've got the first is sort of the things that happen for most patients. So most of the time the patient's going to come in, you'll get them in a hospital gown, you'll put their belongings to the side, and you'll start your primary survey. You come in, you do a set of vitals, and a lot of the time the patient needs a cannula, take the bloods, and do an ECG. That's sort of standard for most patients. Not all the time. You still have to use your critical thinking in that regard. You'll also be coming in and doing your assessment of your patient. So you're taking the vital signs. Yes, that's for everyone. But then it comes to the difference between ICU and ED. In ICU, every patient is getting a full secondary head to toe. They're getting a full systems assessment. Whilst in the emergency department, when you're juggling six patients at times, it doesn't always turn out to be the case of doing a full systems, and not everyone needs a full systems assessment. This is where a focused assessment comes into it. So it's, if you've come in for chest pain, I'm really digging at exactly why you've got that chest pain. Is it musculoskeletal? I'm taking your bloods, I'm sending away a troponin, so a little marker in your heart, which is looking at if it's actual cardiac damage. And I'm really getting involved in looking at your vital signs, what's your blood pressure, what's your heart rate doing, but I'm also getting an ECG. So you're really having to critically think about what this patient actually needs. You're starting to clump together a bit of a story and you're starting to preempt exactly what that patient's going to need in their stay. So chest pain, of course you're whacking in a cannula, of course you're taking bloods and especially sending away a troponin. Of course, you're looking at their blood pressure, you're looking at signs if it's musculoskeletal, so you're pushing on the area, you're asking them the questions that you need to know. Do you have cardiac history? Are you taking on those medications? Describe that pain for me, all that normal stuff. You're looking at their skin, are they pale, clammy? What are some of the preempting factors? What's the history leading up to this pain today? Like, you're getting all of this stuff going. And you also know that they're going to also go off and get a chest x-ray. You're listening to their lungs. So again, like, it's a very more focused in a way in compared to the full systems assessment of the intensive care unit. And that's actually been pretty fun. When also comes into process is when they come up to the intensive care unit, again, you've got all that information. They've already gone through the pre-hospital setting, they've gone into the emergency department, they may have already had their surgery, and they have all of this information all collected. And then as an intensive care nurse, you're analysing all of this data, and you're then in that stage of, okay, let's start getting this patient better. Whilst in the emergency department, you don't have all that information at play. So a large part of that process that I'm starting to still be really rapidly developing and using every day is exactly what I talked about with that chest pain. You're having to ask all these questions, and you as the clinician are asking them and starting to get an understanding of exactly what's going on today. And that's actually a lot of fun. Like I really enjoy that part of it. So again, I'm developing skills that I wasn't actually doing all the time in intensive care, and I'm needing to do it myself now in ED. And I think that sort of stuff has been really fun. So anyway, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. They're just some of the things that I've been loving about the emergency department at this stage. In the next episode coming up right now, I'm also going to make an episode which is going to be providing you a bit more about some of the things that I have disliked about starting the emergency department. So thanks, guys. I'll talk to you very soon.